Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
To share with you today, last week was Pentecost Sunday. Talked about in Scripture and the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues. It's a mouthful. It's a lot of Christianese. But it's talked about in Acts. It's one of our 16 fundamental truths as the Assemblies of God. In our doctrine, it's one of our four cardinal doctrines that we believe upon the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning, okay? But don't get your pants in a bunch. There's more to it, all right? Because I believe last week, first service, they did an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and baptism in the Holy Spirit. Second service, we had water baptism, dunking some people. It was great. It was awesome. Love it. I love seeing people just be so consumed with their faith that they want to make a public declaration of their faith by getting baptized. It's incredible. It's awesome. I love seeing it. I always get emotional, you know, but it's a good time. So we didn't get to that in second service last week, but I believe next Sunday we are doing baptism in the Holy Spirit in the second service. Who knows, maybe first service too. Outpourings happen. It's just going to go. We're just going to let it happen. But I want to talk about it a little bit. I'm going to read from Scripture. We're going to talk about it. But see, there's something that I want to talk about with this, and I talked with the youth about it because my passion in my heart is the youth. Is the next generation. And like my dad said, I got another nephew, Jackson. Jackson Truth Meyer, that's his name. Yeah, I like it. It's fun. You know, they're brave people for putting truth in there. But I like it. It's good. It's awesome. I love that name. William Justice Meyer, and now Jackson Truth Meyer. Elizabeth is just LaRue, you know. Elizabeth LaRue Meyer. No, I'm kidding. She's great. Just their names. They're awesome. I'm so excited about it. But I'm so passionate about the youth is because Jackson, when he grows up, the kids that are in my youth group are going to be his youth pastor, going to be his teacher, going to be whatever. They're going to be running the world. And so I just want to invest in them in the best way I know how so that they are better than me and you. If that's not our goal, is to make the next generation better than us instead of complaining about their technology, maybe invest in them so that they become better than us. That should be our perspective. That should be our goal. And investing in them is not your words of wisdom of, get off the video games, okay? I'm not saying they should be allowed to just do whatever they want. I'm just saying, investing in them. Pouring into their life. And so I shared a little bit of this on a Wednesday night because I believe it's something that they need to hear, even though they're just the youth. They need to hear. And so I want to share a little bit of it today is this baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. We get caught up in this. We get caught up in this and that it's Sunday out of the year. We do baptisms in the Holy Spirit. And it's this moment, it's this great thing, and we speak in tongues, and it's super cool. But understand, I have a friend on Wednesdays. He's a youth leader. He helps me out. He'll offer to bring me a drink on Wednesdays to before service, an energy drink or something, because he knows that I'm usually there all day. Although it's fishing season, so sometimes all day. But or he'll offer to bring me dinner or whatever it is, and he pays for it, and he'll bring it to me. And he's a great friend and a great youth leader, and I appreciate it. And we get so caught up in the Holy Spirit and the baptism of speaking in tongues. If all I did was look at that youth leader and think he's the drink guy and the food guy, but I missed the friendship. I missed the fact that he's somebody's son. I missed the fact that he's got his own story, that there's more to him. The Holy Spirit is not just speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. It's not a what, it's not an it, it's a him, it's a who. The Holy Spirit. It's He. And see, the Holy Spirit, I'll be honest, throughout my message, I might get caught. I call the Holy Spirit it sometimes, and I catch myself. It's a He, though. It's a person. It's part of the Trinity. Maybe this is news to you. You're like, what? I thought it was just the Spirit. It's an it. It's a He. It's part of the Trinity, all right? So now we're all on the same page. See, there's more than just speaking in tongues. Now, I want you to let me finish my message because I'm not belittling speaking in tongues. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit to the point where you're speaking in tongues is great, and it's needed, and it's something that we should all partake in. But understand, there is so much more to the Holy Spirit. It is the blood that is in our veins of our spiritual body. If I cut off the circulation or the blood to one of my fingers or my hand and blood doesn't get to it, that will stop functioning. The same way in your life, if we do not allow the Spirit to be the blood in our veins in every part of our life, that area of your life, I'd be careful. In your relationships, in your family, in work, whatever it may be. Keeping that from the Spirit, like myself, I got this. See, the Spirit isn't just something that we walk out on a Sunday. We walk out of God's presence. No, we walk in God's presence. Everywhere we go, He's with us. And the same with the Holy Spirit. It is with us wherever we go. It is in us, works through us, works in us as well. Changes us, transforms us, convicts us, comforts us. I'm getting ahead of myself. In Acts chapter 1. That's where we're going to be today. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. Acts chapter 1. If you do not have a Bible, there are Bibles in the racks under the seats somewhere. Find one. Use it. Take it. If you don't own a Bible, you can take that Bible with you. That is a free gift from God. We replenish those every week. But Acts chapter 1, and we're going to talk in verse 8. It's one of my favorite verses. And I know it's the whole Bible. Inspired word of God. I love the whole Bible. We're not supposed to pick favorites, but man, this verse gets me. I read this verse, and this verse just always has a new, it just gives me a new perspective, a new outlook on everything in my life. Every time I read it, there seems to be some sort of difference in it, some new perspective. And one of those new perspectives is what I'm going to preach on today. I'm going to read the first part of it, and then we're going to cut it because I want to break it up a little bit. It's a short verse, but man, it's jam-packed. So we ready? We're going to dig in. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Stop. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Understand, the power it is talking about is not just speaking in tongues. It's not just this prayer language. It's talking about you're going to have power to go and preach the gospel. You're going to have power to withstand persecution. It's going to give you courage of mind and heart to stand up for your faith. It's power. Like that song I was talking about, power. You know, people with power, they make declarations. Declaration of Independence. Memorial Weekend. God bless our veterans. God bless America. I love America. I'm glad I live here. We're free to gather together like this. The beauty of being a church kid is I've heard lots of missionaries talk about other countries and what they have to do to gather like this. I'm glad we live here with the freedom we have, but understand, freedom is not free. Thank you to our veterans and in memory of those that aren't here. I love our military. I respect them a lot. That was a side note. But see, the Holy Spirit gives us power. Power. Not to just sit around. Not to just, you know, walk around and live our life and go to work and do this, go to church on Wednesdays or Sundays and call it good. It's power. power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to preach the gospel and work miracles. Miracles are not just for some third world country. They're for right here in Sparta. They're right here for your very own life. If you don't believe me, 2 hours down the road this summer, I'm going to take a group of kids to camp. You know how many miracles I've seen at camp? I've seen kids with broken ankles before service come out and shoot hoops with me after. I've seen people with scoliosis grow 3 inches. I've seen people with addictions and hardship in their life be broken that they never go back to. I've seen suicidal and depressed people find love in Christ and identity in Him that pushes that so far out of their life that they are the most joyful people I know. Because the Spirit comes with power. It's not just speaking in tongues. That is good. That is what we should seek. That is the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But understand, it is more. There is so much power that comes with it. There is so much power. In the second half of that verse, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Witness. A witness is somebody that tells of what they have seen or experienced that is influential in a trial, in a, like a court, the judge and the gavel and all that. See, you are the key witness to the people in this world. Their life, their soul is in the balance on trial. And you are the key witness that could turn the case, that could turn the trial in their favor so that they can come to know the love and the grace and the mercy that we experience every day. That is us. To be a witness, to speak, to preach, to the miracles, to stand up for our faith amidst people knocking us down. That's
cool.
That's power. To be a witness.
Brings me back to when I was little and I played 3 sports. Basketball, baseball, and football. Trifecta. That's what I played year-round. I didn't totally have a favorite. It was kind of whatever sport I was playing at the time was my favorite. But then one winter, this was when we lived in Hibbing, Minnesota, just shy of Canada, and winter, 12 months out of the year, and I got the invite to go to an NBA basketball game. I was ecstatic. The Timberwolves, it was back in the Kevin Garnett, Latrell Sprewell, Oliwa Candy, Wally Zerbiak, Sam Cassell. You guys might not know. You're Wisconsin people. This was an actually winning team. No, I'm kidding. In basketball, I'm messing around. They were some of my favorite players. And I remember before I left, my mom told me, she's like, yeah, you get to go. And there's this kid just out of high school, went straight into the NBA. He's like 19 years old, and he's supposed to be really good, but you're going to go get to see him play. It's his rookie season. His name's LeBron James. Now, this is not me starting a debate of who's the greatest of all time and all that stuff, even though we know LeBron. That's not what I'm here to preach on. This story has a purpose. See, I remember my mom telling me this, and I was like, okay, cool. That's really cool, but I'm more excited, like KG and Sam, like all those people, the Wolfgang. Like, I'm so excited. My first NBA game, I remember walking into the Target Center, and I'm just like, whoa. Little kid, I'm like seeing, oh my goodness. And the game starts and I start to watch LeBron James, 19-year-old rookie, dismantle my favorite team. Just dismantle them. And I remember first quarter, second quarter, as the minutes went by and I watched play after play, and I was like, I just, that was the moment that I really fell in love with basketball. The way he played, the way he carried himself, the way he made plays. And as some rookie going up against these team of all veterans that are, you know, big tough guys, they know what they're doing. And he just dismantled them. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, he's my favorite player. It was that moment. It was never, I'll be honest, I was too young to think about championships, playoffs, scoring title, MVPs. Like, I didn't know, like, any of that stuff. I was just like, this dude can play. And I remember I got a poster, I got a jersey, I remember. But see, when I got home, what I did was pick up a basketball and go to my basement and practice everything I saw him do. Everything I saw him do, I wanted. He was, as much as I watched on TV and KG and all these great players, they didn't inspire me. They didn't motivate me. They didn't push me to go to my basement and practice. But that one game watching LeBron, as a kid, that motivated the next 17 years of my life as a basketball player. Ref, coach, player, wanting to play like him, even though I'm like a whole foot shorter. And like 100 pounds left, well, we won't comment on that. But, I mean, I remember I couldn't wait to tell my friends at school, and they were all mad at me because they're Wolves fans. And I was just like, he's the best player. I love him so much. And they're like, they beat the Timberwolves. We don't care. And I was like, but he was so good. I just remember wanting to tell everybody, and the power of LeBron James made me so excited that my life became all about basketball. And telling my friends and wanting to play like him and going home and practicing. How much more powerful is the Holy Spirit in my life that I experience it and want nothing more than to tell my friends? I want nothing more than to go home and spend time in His Spirit. Because I'll let you in on a secret. It's not just one Sunday called Pentecost. It's not just one service. It's not just one moment. It goes with you wherever you go. When the music stops, worship does not end. Our life is worship to Him. When you walk out those doors and go into the world, you're relationship with Him is not over. It's not, okay, I'm going to turn off the Christian switch and live my life. No, it is the blood in our veins. It is the blood that powers the Christian body across all America in all churches, and it will empower us and motivate us to go and be a witness, to go and change the world. Ain't clapping for me, you're clapping for the Holy Ghost. Because He's in us. He's in this church. And I believe it. You want to see miracles? Give in. Don't hold back. Don't keep it just at church. Let it go home with you. You got problems in the home? Let it go home with you. You got problems in your mind? Let it be in your mind. You got problems somewhere? Let the Holy Spirit in. Don't cut off the circulation. Because that power will transform you, will renew you, will regenerate you, will motivate you, will inspire you, will convict you and give you courage to cut out the things in your life that should not be there. Man, if you preach and don't sweat, you ain't preaching hard enough. I mean, this is what transforms our life. And you know the other thing I love about this? This is right before Jesus ascends into heaven. This is like one of the last things He says. So I think we should really put it like an extra star next to this verse. It's one of the reasons why I love it so much. But the other part about it is that, like, you know, my mom and dad will ask me to do something, and I could come up with a lot of excuses. I could come up with a lot. See, Jesus was like, no excuse. He just squashed it right out the gate. I can imagine how the conversation could have gone. Like, hey, go be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Go talk to people about the gospel. I'm sure the disciples could have been like, well, see, I have a stuttering problem, or I don't know enough, or, you know, Jesus, you kind of forbid us to going to Samaria, you know, like, you kind of forbid us from going there and preaching the gospel. So all these excuses, but see, Jesus could probably, like, see that coming, so He just started it off with, the Holy Spirit will come, and you'll receive power. That means no excuses. Because it's going to give you the words to preach. It's going to give you the courage. It's going to give you the direction, the leadership. And he, like, you know, says, why didn't he just say to the ends of the earth? Because Jerusalem was the metropolis of the nation. Judea was where the future of the churches would really spread and the seeds would be planted. And Samaria, like I said, Jesus forbid them from going there. But then he says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power. And now you can go there. Now you can go there. Where you think it is impossible to spread the gospel, that person that can never come to church, Holy Spirit, power, you can go. You can invite. You can preach. You can be a living testimony. Share your story. Share your account of the Spirit in your own life or what you saw in somebody else's. Spread the word. Spread the gospel is what we're called to do, and there is no excuse. He squashed it. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. And understand, it's not just talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because you can't be like, I haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not just about that. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is in you. The infilling, when you're filled up to the point of baptism in the Holy Spirit, of speaking in tongues, that's different. I mean, it's involving the same thing, but it's different, or the same person. Sorry. Catch myself. Holy Spirit's a person. See, this power that is in us, that is given to us, we can go and change the world. We can go and preach the good news. It gives us courage, gives us hope. And it's all because of God's love. That commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Whoo, that one's hard. I'll be honest. That one's hard. It's not. It doesn't just mean the person that lives next to you, okay? It's talking about other people, maybe the person sitting next to you. I mean, that one's hard. And I've talked to my students about this because I've seen it in them, because this generation coming up kind of has an identity crisis. And I think maybe the problem in loving our neighbor as ourselves, the root of that problem is maybe we don't love ourselves the way we should. The way God loves us. That's the way we're to love ourselves. I'll be honest, I'm my own worst critic. I'll rip myself to shreds over the littlest thing. But allowing God's love into my life and just understanding, I don't deserve your love. I gotta do better. I gotta live better. No, God's just like, no, love. Here's love. Here's love. Let it fill you up. Let it pour over your entire life and wash away your sins. And when we learn to love ourselves that way, loving our neighbor the same is a lot easier. Finding our identity in that love. And that identity crisis is solved in the power of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit coming in, accepting that into our life, will help us face the challenges that we struggle with. The adversity, the mountain, the whatever it is in your life, the power of the Holy Spirit. It'll help you in your parenting. It'll help you in your marriage. It'll help you in your relationships. You could be thinking, I mean, anything you can think of. The power of the Holy Spirit. It'll open your eyes to see that your kids are beginning to have the same spiritual habits as you as a parent. I don't have kids, but I know this to be true because I'm the youth pastor. And your kids are like you. They are. I challenged my students with this, but it was probably hard for them to comprehend, but I challenge you. If your faith, because only you can know your faith, if your kids had the same faith you do, would you be happy? Let the power of the Holy Spirit take over
and it'll blow that door wide open. And you will see a change in your family. You'll see a change in your marriage. You'll see a change in the relationship in the world around you. Go and be a witness to these things. Go and be a witness. Share the gospel, the story of how good he's been in your life. What you've seen in others, what you've seen in the church. Go and be a witness. Be empowered. Belief. Someone with this kind of power, you're not just kind of shy like, oh, I don't know. Confidence. Approach. Not arrogance in yourself, but belief that God is in you and his spirit is in you. And it'll give you the words to preach. It'll give you the means necessary to reach lost souls. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't say tomorrow, today. Today. Believe it. Be a witness. The Holy Spirit is more than just speaking in tongues. We need that. It is important. It's something that we should partake in. But understand, my friend on Wednesdays is more than just a drink guy. He's a person. He has other things he can invest in my life other than just buying me a drink. Buying me an energy drink. Buying me food. My mom is more than just a house cleaner. My mom is so much more. And I'm not offending anybody that if you're a working mom, good, because you're capable. I'm just saying in my life, my mom was kind of a stay-at-home mom. And never once did I ever question that she was more than that. Because she is. She is. The Holy Spirit, do not chalk it up as just one Sunday, one moment, baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. It should be in your everyday life. The blood that flows through your spiritual veins. Let's be a witness. Let's share the gospel and believe it and proclaim it as Christians.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.